Well, we're pleased to welcome Susie Elkins, the interim director of broadcasting and the general manager of WKR. And you and I saw each other this morning for the Detroit Public Television Kids Channel with PBS announcement that KR is playing a really strong role in. So why don't we start with that and you can explain a bit about your partnership and what the Kids Channel is about.
Absolutely. Well, it was a great event this morning, and I really enjoyed hearing your comments because we're just excited about rolling out the channel. We've really been planning and working for over a year, and our partnership with Detroit and with Michigan State is really special to me because it really allows us to build the foundation about what our programming is all about. So it's allowed us to work with faculty on campus and really dive into the research behind the early childhood education that PBS programming is built on. And so what we've wanted to do is distill that down into, it's pretty hard, but we've tried to distill it down to 30 seconds to a minute to have a takeaway for parents, to really have that connection around the programming and help parents understand that we're there to support them, we're there to help them understand how their children's brains work and what their expectations can be. I think it's difficult for parents sometimes to understand what they can expect from a child at a certain age, and we can play a role in helping get MSU's research out there.
Well, I think it's appropriate that it's launched on MLK Day because part of the purpose of this effort is really to think about kids wherever they are and whatever their socioeconomic circumstances might be, and to recognize that if we're all going to be successful, we can't have a third of our kids in poverty and therefore having maybe not a chance to read or learn counting skills or the things we know are so important by the time they get to school, so that they really have a legitimate chance. And part of the channel is streaming, and it's using tablets and phones that many kids have. It's also using public television and not just watching Sesame Street or the things that people might normally see, but really things that do help folks that they can do. One of the examples today was one of our faculty members who's great in mathematics. And it's a really simple thing where you take beans and you could paint one side red and leave the other side, navy beans, the natural color, and you can learn counting skills and tell people how to help not just do counting, but do it the right way so that the kid's brain connects for a skill. And it puts all this sophisticated research in 30 seconds a minute in a game that people can play with something they might have, navy beans, and a paper cup. So it's not about all the expensive things that they don't have, but it empowers parents in an extraordinary, or caregivers in an extraordinary way.
Take me into the programming of the show, the broadcast that comes out. When you define kids, I'd like to get a definition on kids, and then is the viewership of this intended for the kids to be sat alone, watch the programming and learn, or is it intended to engage the parent or an individual that might be with them to help with the process of what they're seeing?
Well, the focus for the channel is really ages 2 through 8, but I would also say the other major focus would be that parent and caregiver. Mm-hmm. Research shows that kids learn more when they're co-viewing with an adult who can take them through and have a conversation, laugh and play around the topic. And so the idea is that most of the research that PBS found is that especially low-income families, they're watching in the evening, after work, sometimes even late at night. Unfortunately, that's just the way some schedules work. If you have a couple of jobs, you know, that might be the time when you have it. Or if you're in the pediatric unit, those are some of the target audiences that they were thinking about. But it's really that sweet spot after dinner, before bed. The viewing is almost double there than it is in the morning. And so I think it just realizing where the audience is and where you can have the most impact, because ultimately, what we want to do is have that impact and have that connection between learning and understanding, whether it be literacy or social-emotional issues. And so I think that the channel is really targeted at meeting that and helping parents have access to it. So when it's available 24/7, it's really about access and making sure that that kids can watch it if they're looking for the broadcast. But as President Simon was saying, there's so many more opportunities to interact with the programming. And that's what's exciting to me when you think about the playtime pads that they're offering and, you know, the apps that we could create, you know, in conjunction with the Communication Arts and Sciences. And it's just really exciting for me to think about how we can build on that programming, because, of course, you can find it in a lot of different places. But the key component for us at WKR is we are a university licensee. That's what makes us special and unique from so many other stations. And I really want to build on that foundational approach to look beyond just that local community engagement, which is, of course, extremely important. But we can do so much more than that if we use that robust foundation.
I think that Detroit Public Television is one of the flagship public television stations in the country.
Right.
Part of that is their huge catchment area, including being able to pick things off the air to make it accessible. And also, so PBS had this idea about how to really make a difference across socioeconomic class by thinking about blending entertainment and education in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And not just education for Big Bird and Alphabet or whatever, but to really help to bridge all the gaps that we're seeing in our society about literacy and and everything. And so WDET then, I think, competed for the opportunity to be this launch for this new idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they immediately came to us about a partnership about how we could use both not WKR to try some broadcasting in Lansing. So it was a two-city project in this, quote, launch. And the head of PBS Children's Program was there to do it in Detroit as part of the launch, but also then to look at MSU expertise about parenting, I mean, nutrition, all the things that make a difference in learning. And instead of having an extension agent say that to five people individually in a community, it can all be packaged into something that's accessible now because it's streamed. So you don't have to sit there and watch it. You can find it if you want to, or these ways of teaching mathematics that have enormous evidence behind them that they work for kids. And they also are done in a way that the stuff you have is available. So you don't have to have a fancy Lego set if you can't afford it.
Right.
You can do it with things that are around you. And then it empowers people to do it, because if you think that all this requires like a computer at school or all that fancy stuff, it means you can't do it. Now more people can do it as a result of it. That's the big idea.
So what's the vision on the content, where you're going to go for the content and how you're going to apply that to that demographic?
Well, for the launch, we have about 20 of these research videos, and they're essentially tips and takeaways for parents as far as the public is concerned. And so that's our job, is to really listen and understand the research and work with our faculty to make sure we get it right, and then create that interesting takeaway that parents will watch when they're co-viewing. They'll see it. They'll be online. We're creating a whole umbrella called WKR Family, where they'll be housed there, so anybody can find them at any point. And we're just going to keep creating those, and they'll be used, we call it interstitially, in between the programs. So we have about a minute in between each of the PBS programs throughout the day, and we can do two 30-second spots, another a minute spot. But we're also creating them a little bit longer, 2 minutes for the website, so that people can access them that way.
And then this goes with programs, Sesame Street, that are purchased by public broadcasting and other programs that are developed around the country that are oriented towards kids. And each public television station, we've done some about, those are going to get aggregated now. And instead of just being 6 to 7 on your local public broadcasting station, they'll be actually aggregated and put on the children's channel so that they might be shown twice a day, but they're all going to be running. So you know that when you go to the PBS Kids, that's what you're going to see.
Sure.
And you don't have to worry about if you miss Sesame Street in a certain block, that you can never find it again until tomorrow because you can pick it up for your kids with the streaming through this sort of mechanism. And it's going to, there'll be some redundancy at the beginning for this channel because there's not all that many great children's programs. Mm-hmm. But over time, this will grow. And then the addition from Michigan State and WKR's special role is all these tips and things that you get along the way.
Right. Well, Sesame Street has Oscar the Grouch, and we have Izzo. So if there are things that...
Oh, I would love to do that. If you can arrange that, I will take you up on that.
If there are things, you know, many times there's applications, marching band, a lot of mathematics that goes
Absolutely.
Into sports.
We've been talking a lot about sports and what we might be able to mm-hmm. do. In fact, we've been working with folks in the... College of Education, and someone from kinesiology said, I have some ideas with that. And so I'm thinking about some shorts related to kids' health, nutrition, physical fitness. There could mm-hmm. be some really unique evidence-based content that we can create in that way.
It's exciting, especially this campus, because there's so many. You go to the Wharton Center, you go to the marching band, you go to sports, you go to the academic areas. It's sort of going to be a challenge to confine some of your vision and make sure that you're on task with what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
But knowing that there's a palette out here that's very broad and very engaging.
There's a lot there. And I think we've been experiencing that over the past 6 months of, you know, okay, we have to get really good at organizing and making sure that we're following through and connecting and scheduling, and everybody's extremely busy. So some faculty will say, great, come talk to me in 3 months, and we've got them in the calendar. And so I'm really looking forward to having that problem of, you know, how do we handle the influx, because frankly, that's what we want to be here on campus. We want to be that unique space where someone can say, you know, I really want to have a broader impact with my research. Can you help me figure out how to do that? And we absolutely can. I'm hoping that people will really get used to working with us in that way. And in fact, Amy Parks from College of Education said, can I use my video and submit it with my NSF? This was NSF money that I used. And we said, absolutely, we'll help you do that. And so it's exciting for me to be able to be that academic partner in a way that I think we hadn't quite figured out how to do mm-hmm. for some reason. And I think that it's really clicking, and it's really is what's going to help us, what's going to make us special. And in fact, I've been asked to speak at the PBS annual meeting in May about our connection to campus and all of the students that work with us. And I get calls probably once a month from other university licensees and some community licensees saying, how are you working with students so well? How does that work? Our staff is overwhelmed with thinking about how to train them and how to manage them and how to. And so we'll be doing a breakout session at the annual meeting to talk about that. And we want to do more of that as well, too. So
the Kids Channel, PBS Kids 24/7, and then the partnership for us for content, and it'll be available in the community here and in Detroit. And then other PBS stations can pick it up if they choose. And we're also going to do a tablet exercise that makes sure that some kids who are not necessarily have tablets mm-hmm. in their homes get it, because this is all streamed. So channel is sort of an old word that has modern technology. But what else has happened in WKR? I mean, this is a big deal, but we wanted to make sure that we talked about it. But how are you thinking about it? You're relatively new to the role, and there are lots of changes.
There are a lot of changes, but I think they're all really exciting changes, and our staff is really excited to move forward in this direction, and particularly with, as you articulated your vision for what you think we can be, that was really exciting to me. And so we've moved forward really trying to think about how we can connect ourselves with the College of Education, or College of Education, Social Sciences, and more particularly with Communication Arts and Sciences. That's our home, and I think we can... I've been really working to make that connection with PBS at the national level to let them know about our game design program and let them know what assets we have in terms of longitudinal research. And we talked with Leslie about that, and she's really interested.
The PBS person.
Right.
Sorry,
yeah,
the PBS person from this morning. And so we'll be working with the Lansing School District on the tablet project, and they'd like to work with us to develop that research. But beyond that, it is definitely thinking about our content in broader, bigger ways, bigger ideas. We've been working with Timothy Busfield as an artist in residence through the college, and he and I went to PBS and pitched a series that we're discussing with them and in semi-negotiations about how that might work. But that would be a major, really exciting project where we could work with, you know, hundreds of students potentially.
Right.
So it's thinking bigger. There's another artist in residence in the college who's he and I are working on a proposal for PBS on, called the Latino Lens, and he's mm-hmm. done many productions for PBS. And so when the president was articulating her challenge, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be in our market. We're relatively small compared to the larger markets who create that kind of content. But
right.
it was an exciting challenge to me. And then when the dean said, look, we have an opportunity for these artists in residence, I thought, this is how we're going to do it. You
right.
know, we can't do it on our own. We have to connect. We have to make these connections and think big. And so to me, working on those projects has been so exciting, in addition to the children's project. But and ultimately, creating content is, of course, what we're all about, what we need to do. And one of the main reasons why that's so important, I think, on campus here is that's how we provide experiential learning opportunities for students.
Sure.
And if we're not constantly creating, if we're not constantly moving and thinking big, there's not much for them to do to engage with us. And so as we've gotten the ball rolling incredibly fast, we've been pulling in students left and right saying, you want to learn this? We could use some help with this. And it's just been really fun. And we're working on a strategy to bring really inexperienced students to come in and not have outrageous expectations for them, but then give them that stepladder to the point where, you know, as juniors and seniors, they're writing, they're producing, they're directing. And I think our old vision was, let's bring students in and they can run camera and they can do audio and they can do production related things. And mm-hmm. a lot of students still want to do that, but the sky's the limit in terms of, I mean, now they're creating motion graphics and they're writing scripts and they're producing and directing. And so their experience is so much more meaningful. And
right.
so that's we've been working on that national footprint, experiential learning opportunities, connections with the college, and definitely trying to build those relationships with other departments on campus.
And technology changes as well.
Technology changes. The whole ATSC 3 opportunity is really exciting.
It's new standards.
Thank you for interpreting. That's very helpful. A new television standard. The next gen standard for television encompasses a lot of different things, but one of the most exciting areas is connecting the IP or broadband connection to the broadcast piece and the opportunities that affords.
Right.
And so it's exciting for us as you know, a media organization, but it's also exciting because we can give back to the university in that sense. So Prabhu Dean David has been bringing in folks from engineering and social science and all across campus to help us think about how can that we do this meaningfully, how can we make it really have an impact for the university, not just for WKAR, because this is so much bigger than even what we can do with
right.
it. So the technology piece is really exciting. There's a lot to figure out there, but we want to be out in front, and we want to the sense I'm getting from other public broadcasters is this is a commercial broadcast kind of a thing and not something that we necessarily, well, let's just kind of watch and see what happens. That is not our approach.
Yeah.
Our approach is we need to be out in front and helping to develop the standard of how this can be used. And so in order to do that, we have to push in areas that, you know, we don't know a whole lot about yet, but that's what's exciting. And Dean David is really, he's got a good vision for that. And so I'm just following his lead on that one and following the university's lead on how we can do that. But we did mention that to the folks at PBS, and I think they're in the same boat of we're not really sure what to do with that yet. A lot of the equipment hasn't even been designed or created, but they know that it's going to be important. I mean, something that public broadcasting has always done is served very tailored, targeted niche audiences. And in some ways, that can be a negative when you think about some programming that only 5 people might watch
right.
at any given time. But the idea of doing that is central to this new technology. You need to be able to tailor a person's experience. We all know how we use media these days.
Yeah.
And so using ATSC 3 and the capabilities for interactivity and for targeting and connecting with people, it's amazing to think about.
He has done great things, and I think this university is the type of university where it is a collaboration, cooperation type. I know Dan Dickerson, the voice of the Tigers, is coming in to be part of that process, and we're collaborating with him from an athletic standpoint on what we can deliver over here to ComArts, but then he wants to use some of our events as a laboratory for individuals that are trying to learn. And we also hire many that come over and work and learn how to do things well beyond running a camera or working in a room. So it's for the asking. It's an opportunity that if we can structure it right, plan it right, I think you look across this campus and there's countless opportunities for you to continue this thing forward. It's exciting.
It is indeed. I mean, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't just mention radio, since we're on the radio, as a medium that WKR also has in an AF and FM station. And public radio plays a very important role in information in the lives of people. How do you see that changing sort of over the next period of time? I know we're doing more classical. People want more news. They want lots of things that will be different than it was even 5 years ago.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we do. We, of course, we have that dual format, and I really just want to make sure that we are the best we can be in both of those areas. And so we did make some changes recently, and the idea behind that was literally to allow us to restructure our resources. Of course, you want to make change. You don't always have all the resources you need. You got to make some decisions. So we restructured. When looking at the way the audience listened, we had double the listenership in our NPR News Magazine's Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Of course, those are very big, solid brands. And we were doing a lot of focused, good local news in one solid block. And I really am committed to that local news coverage, but I just felt it had half the listenership at that hour. Our classical music listeners were really missing that hour of classical. And so I just felt that if we make this change, we can offer more classical, which is what those listeners want on that format, and then really retool our news product so that the local news gets the respect it deserves by being in those news magazines mixed in with the national news where most of the listenership is. And so I had some questions from people saying, oh, you don't have a strong commitment to local news if you're taking that away. Well, actually, I have a stronger commitment because I want to make sure that that more people can hear it. And so that was one of the reasoning behind making that switch. We have a little bit of work to do in terms of figuring out that structure to make sure that we're seamless and solid. And the other piece to that is we have not had very much of a digital presence, and I think that has been missing, and I wanted to have enough resources to really build out that digital audience. And so the radio, of course, is extremely important, and folks want to hear that every day, and that's a really strong spot to pay attention to. But I've really been talking to staff about building out that there's a huge opportunity in the digital space. And so we don't have to worry about, if we post something online and somebody reads it or listens to it, then now they won't listen at Morning Edition. That's just not the way it works. And so I think we have an opportunity to build a whole new audience, perhaps a younger audience there, and, you know, try out some podcasting, try out some unique, pretty standard things in the media world
standard
now
that approach them to your brand.
From our perspective.
Yeah. And I think this change is really very important because public television, public radio, particularly public radio, all things considered, their listenership has grown, interestingly enough, because people see them as one of the more balanced.
Right.
Nobody ever is
as voice
perfectly balanced, but more balanced. More assiduous at fact checking, because nobody can be perfect again, but at least more assiduous. And so there's really an opportunity to think about how people get their news in a digital format with the same kind of credibility that a much smaller group of people has always relied on in terms of things like public radio.
Right.
So it's a really exciting opportunity and very needed in this time and place.
I think so, too. I think we really need to spend some time there just because it's needed, and also because, just like we've done with the Children's Initiative, when I've been talking with some producers at NOVA about some interest in short, they call them digidocs, and, you know, can you imagine... I gave them a few samples of what's happening just here on campus, let alone in the Midwest, because they're not necessarily working with any other stations right now. And they were just so excited about the types of Facebook Live video we could do, you know, in the engineering or, I mean, and she encouraged me. She said, think about science that's happening, you know, spoonful of sugar kind of science. So right. Sports, you know, the kinds of things that people aren't necessarily thinking are NOVA, right. You know, that's what she was talking about. And I thought that's so perfect for radio, TV, online especially, and then a partnership like that at the national level would just be amazing. But we have to build our skills. We have to build our team. We have to be ready to go because these connections are starting to click. Michigan State, everyone wants to be a part of, work with this university. We got to be ready to hit the ground running.
You got a lot to do.
We all do. Have a lot to do.
Yeah.
And I want to thank Susie and her team for rising to the challenge. I mean, there was a lot of discussion about the future of channels and public broadcasting, and it's one of those things, like for all of us, where it's an extraordinary asset, but if it continues to do exactly what it always did,
right.
It's an asset that diminishes in value. And they've taken up the challenge to sort of use it, rethink it, move it for the 21st century, and to have it balanced, as we've been talking on the program, this very vast difference between some people who are my age and the rising generations, whatever they're labeled, and how they consume and think about information and entertainment.
Absolutely.
It's really exciting, so thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.